Did you know that the original Final Fantasy creator, Hironobu Sakaguchi, made a spiritual successor to that legendary series called Fantasian for Apple Arcade, and every level in the game is a handmade, physical miniature model? Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a 1 month free trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. This offer is for new subscribers only. $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled. Hello and welcome to Pixel Sift. My name is Gianni, and joining me on this episode is my co-host Mitch. Thank you, Mitch, for joining me on this episode.
Hello.
Each and every episode of Pixel Sift, we introduce you to a new creator of interactive media, and we find out what it actually takes to make those games you love. And this episode, we're exploring DAP, a dark storybook-style adventure. And joining us is Paul Anstey and Iris Anstey of Melting Parrot Games, a two-person team based in Melbourne. Hello to you both.
Hello.
Nice to be here.
We can't wait to find out more about your game. We've been playing a little bit of the prologue, had a bit of a taste, but it is something that is beautiful to behold, but also dark and very, very interesting. So let's jump in.
Australia's best video game podcast.
Subscribe to Pixel Sift on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever podcasts are found.
Now, DAP is a dark storybook-style adventure. If you imagine that sort of black paper that you would have might have used in your art class in school, with these sort of charcoal or maybe wax crayon designs on top of it, it's a game where you lead your friends through a twisting path. But Iris and Paul, how would you describe this game? What sort of game is it, and how does it play?
Yeah, well, it's a game where you control a little creature called a DAP. And I mean, it plays like an action adventure horror type game. Basically, there's a sort of a corruption that's spreading through the forest, and it's your job to gather up your fellow DAPs and lead them to safety.
Can you tell us a little bit more about how the game kind of came about? How did you start working on it, and what were some of the inspirations?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit hard to answer this question because we didn't really plan this game at all. We were just trying to learn how to do game development. It's basically still our first game. We started a few years ago just to learn some Game Maker, the program we're making this on. And we just kept working on it until it became basically what it is now.
Yeah, we kind of accidentally made a game. We did have some different ideas for games, which ended up being way too complicated. There was one floating around, which I think sort of kicked off our inspiration, something about multiplying bacteria and beehives and things like that. And I think that's actually when I started making some of the sounds for the game. And then we realized this is insane. We can't do this. And then we kept making, I'm just reiterating what you said. we started making different, as you learn the engine, you want to make your own example of it. So you've put into practice what you've learned. And we had several of those going. And then I guess one of them, it just kept growing. And then people seemed to be sort of liking it. I'm like, oh, okay, we'll keep doing it then.
Now, the visual style of the game is very striking, and is one of the main things people point out when they see DAP for the first time. Where did that come from, and what are your influences?
I think that the art is made just through whatever I felt I can do at the time. Influences, I guess, anything that's sort of around me influences me in some sort of way. So that's not like a direct copy from something else. I mean, of course, there are some more direct influences than others. So, I mean, people have definitely found the comparison of some Studio Ghibli movies like the Kodamas that's always been recognized, but it wasn't.
It was still an accident.
Yeah, I didn't actually try to like copy them in that way. Also, we didn't really plan to have a lot of them at the same at a screen. I was just trying to make a playable character, and then Paul copy and pasted them all over the place.
Yeah, I just put them all over the place, and then was like, "Oh, let's give them voices." It's like, "Oh, this is awesome.
Yeah.
This is cute." And then, "Oh, what if they can follow you?" And, "Oh, you know, what if they can shoot?" And, "What if this?" And on and on and on.
But yeah, the rest of the art styles, like I like basically drawing plants a lot, and I wanted to try out pixel art. And what happened is, because I can't really do the clean type pixel art that most people usually do, like when you talk about pixel art. So I mess around with it in Photoshop so long until it becomes some sort of scrambled pixel mess. And yeah, that I feel like. I like that aesthetic, so kept doing that.
I mean, at the time, for a large part of the when we really started on the game, we were living on a farm in Tasmania and sort of really rural. So we were surrounded by nature, just out in nature a lot, and that probably helped inform the aesthetic a bit as well.
The style, I think, is really, you're really striking, actually. And to me, the first thing that came to mind was literally just using like charcoal on black paper and things like that. What did you want to convey? Because it is quite a dark looking game. What sort of idea are you trying to convey through the art style in this particular game?
Some, like, the art is sort of like a mix to me that's of grittiness and prettiness somehow. And that's something that we do also want to convey in the gameplay itself. So it has some really pretty areas with like this background that you've got behind you at the moment with this more, the light beams shining through and that. But a lot of it is also more dark and gritty, but not in a way that, it's not that direct. So whilst other horror, it has maybe more like a grotesque image of something, but with this, it's more just like you look onto the texture of it itself and you find like it's all, scrambled somehow. Yeah, I don't know. I think that just adds to the feel, like a little bit of an unease.
Yeah. Yeah, me personally, I've always liked combining opposite kind of elements. Like my taste in music is very extreme. Like I go from death metal to like sugary pop from the 90s. And me personally, I naturally just get a kick out of expressing that in things that you create. I guess it's the same that, you know, anyone creating things, you're trying to express yourself, and it makes you feel good when you get it right. And I guess we naturally have being a couple and everything, we have synchronized over time, and we're just always on it. We're always talking about it, always making it. But in terms of like what we're trying to express, I guess it's that feeling that you get, I'm a big fan of horror, like David Lynch and that kind of thing. And those, Lynch's films definitely have some really, really varying aesthetics. You know, it's not just straight grotesque horror. There's a lot of stuff going on. And, I love that kind of, it's not a confusing feeling, but it's a feeling that it's really hard to sort of nail down. You can't really explain it. So I'd say that's probably part of what we're trying to express.
I mean, one of the thing that just sticks out to me, that grittiness and prettiness as well, is just like a great way to describe it. But, how did you work that into the gameplay of this game? Because there seems to be little elements of things that we'd recognize from other games as well. I mean, every game that's made obviously builds on all the games that have come before it. But, you know, if someone's playing through this and they're learning the story, what sort of gameplay will they experience as they're playing DAP?
Yeah, there's definitely a mix of more intense combat situations where we really try and, you know, it's going to have more of a bit of a horror feel of, you know, just killing an enemy is quite an intense feeling. Then you're going to have really quite peaceful sections of walking through forest and exploring and just sort of being there in nature. And you'll be, you know, solving some puzzles and looking for secrets and that kind of thing. And generally it'll sort of flow from one to the next. So it might sort of slowly get darker and morph and become a bit more strange until, you know, all of a sudden you're in the bottom of a strange cavernous dungeon somewhere fighting off really strange creatures and getting chased by some horrific monster, and then you'll be spat back out again and you'll be there's definitely that sort of duality of experience.
It has a certain repetitiveness of some things that you'll always be doing, like you always collect the daps. You always have to talk to them to collect them. You say, "Oh, dap dap," and then they talk back and you have to wait, and then you say get them to follow you, and then they follow you, and you do that repeatedly, and that's sort of part of the flow. And then in between you fight enemies, which you do also with the daps itself.
There's also looting. So there's some pretty basic crafting. There's a lot of looting, and that's part of the flow as well. We have some sort of timing-based looting, which I don't want to give it away because it's part of the learning of the game. But there's sort of a rhythm to it that I think we've settled into. There's another part of the game as well where you basically will be using resources that you find to I don't want to give anything away, to be honest with you, because it's just one of those things that you should just play it and figure it out as you go.
But interestingly, also, like, I think to mention is that the combat kind of plays like a twin stick shooter as well, which is, I think people didn't really expect.
people see the game, I think, and they probably expect, a heartfelt, pretty indie game, maybe with some light sort of action, and then they play it and they're like, whoa, okay, I wasn't expecting this.
There's something I've always wanted to ask horror game creators that I seem to forget every time we do talk to them. But do you yourself find it scary? Because, like, after creating it a while, do you still find it scary?
It's hard to tell. Like, also me and Paul, we are very different there, because usually, like, Paul creates levels and then he gives them to me to play. I'm sort of more like, I can see how this can be scary, and I understand this is the right atmosphere, I say, like, this is the right mood here, the right music or whatever. But really scared, I think you just can't be really scared of your own game, because you just know what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I very occasionally will have forgotten that I put this specific thing there, and it might give me a bit of a jump. But overall, I'm like, I don't know. I'm interested to see if people find this game at all scary. Like, it's hard to make a top-down game scary because you have more view of what's going on. First person, obviously, is you're right in there. So we're trying our best to make it scary. It's a good question, though. I mean, I'd like to ask that question to people, you know, the people who made Alien Isolation, if they find it scary, for example, because that thing's really unpredictable.
I'd like to ask a little bit about, you know, you talked a bit about the look of it, and people might think that it's a, you know, a sort of acute sort of narrative indie game, and sort of managing that perception from players, where, you know, they might come into it thinking it's this one certain thing and then be faced with quite complex combat perhaps or something different. What are you doing to sort of communicate that to people who might want to check out your game when they're coming to play it?
Well, I kind of like the thought that someone comes into it thinking it is a pretty indie game, and then they're like, oh God, what's this? Like, that really makes me happy. So I hope we get in people that do think that, but hopefully also people who like more full-on things will be interested as well. But, like, for me personally, I just love going into a movie or a game where I have no idea what to expect. I don't even know what genre it is. Maybe I've got a rough idea. And then you know, then you're not expecting anything. You've got no expectation. So I think it kind of works in our favor.
It's definitely not easy to communicate what the game is about or like what to expect. I think it's a great challenge, and because a lot of the time when you show something to the public, you only have like a minute video or something, and you can't possibly really communicate what it's going to be like. So yeah, what people will what kind of picture they will make of the game. It's since also we're very inexperienced in that section, we cannot possibly predict what they will actually be thinking.
Is it a hard game to play?
Depends what week you play it at.
we are constantly trying to balance this game, and we've struggled a bit of figuring out how hard it should actually be. And also because Paul and I are so incredibly different as players. Paul is this experienced player who plays,
I play harder games,
Mario,
generally speaking.
And
Dark Souls and whatnot.
And Dark Souls.
You play more like Zelda and like chill out kind of games.
Yeah, I'm just not, I wasn't into gaming until I've met Paul, really. So, I can't play something that's very difficult in terms of combat. So we're trying to make it good and interesting for both of us.
Yeah.
For either, we see ourselves as customers, really,
It's a really good restriction, I think, because, you know, if I was left to my own devices, it probably would have become so difficult by now and so unapproachable. And it's like, it's just about me, like what I want to play. And that's kind of stupid, unless you're like so good that you know how to sort of make it. There are games that are difficult that are still approachable. So then I also play it. She goes, I can't even play my own game. I was like, you're right. So then we balance it, and then it goes back and forth between too hard. Now it's too easy. It's boring. And then we watch people play it, and they're like, oh, this person has no trouble. And so we didn't really want to use difficulty settings because we love Zelda and Dark Souls. Don't have them, and it works so well in those games. I really like, it's like, this is the game, this is the experience, this is it, this way, and you're playing it the right way. We've messed around with adaptive difficulty as well. It's a bit of a thing. Like it's caused a lot of discussions and back and forth, but I think it will make us make a better game, this conflict.
Can you tell me a little bit about, before you made this game, what sort of experiences, what sort of background do you have that you've brought to this that you think have really contributed to doing something? As you said, this is the first game you've sort of ever made. You didn't intend to really make a game, and now you're here. What sort of background did you have before you came into making this game?
I made a lot of music and, a lot of writing and things like that over the years. And, we did a short film as well. Iris used to do the covers for albums that I made. And I think that was actually, if you look at some of those, especially the first one, there's almost like a very faint like prediction of DAP on there. There's a little bit of that vibe going on. So I think, it was more just me making music, and then Iris would sort of make the cover at some point along, but so it wasn't as much of a fusion of our skills.
Yeah, I have a background in photography. I've studied photography a while ago, and I always made some art. I used to draw, paint with watercolors more, and since we started making this game, I've only done everything on the computer. So yeah, but basically we've both been creative people, and we hadn't really had this this direction of what exactly to do, especially me. Paul has always had his music as a goal to do, but
didn't go anywhere.
So. Yeah, it didn't go anywhere. And this making this game really, it kind of brought us together as this team, creative team, which I don't know, we always.
Yeah, we touched upon it in previous projects. Like, yeah, like we made a short film a few years ago. There's a, I'll just tell you briefly about it. You don't have to include this, but there's a, we met in Darwin actually, back in 2013. There's a guy up there called Trevor, the Rubbish Warrior, and he's like a homeless dude, and he's sort of just, he's famous there, and he makes like statues out of rubbish around the place. You can like see where he's been. He like sort of fuses together rubbish and like and plant matter. And I'd always wanted to make a thing on him. And then I had some time off work and I had some money, so I went up there and just followed him around for a few days and just got heaps of footage, and then came back and then basically gave the footage to Iris, and then she edited it together, and then I did the soundtrack. So that was probably the first thing we did that was like,
it's sort of a little mood piece, I would say.
A mood piece, yeah. It was definitely a fusion of ourselves. So yeah, you could say it kind of started back there. But this game stuff has really, really given us direction and purpose. Yeah, so it's been amazing. The whole thing's been so good. It's been really challenging. Obviously, these couple of years have been crazy for everyone. We've been we live in a little apartment together, and yeah, as you can imagine, it's not always easy. But I think what we've made is very personal. I think you don't get that every day, because most people aren't stupid, insane enough to make a game with their partner.
Well, I mean, saying that, we've actually had quite a few this year on the podcast where a number of couples have actually been making games together. And I'm curious, as you know, what does that bring, having a close relationship into a creative project that you think would be easier than working with someone who maybe just is just a team member that you met online?
I think everything becomes more personal, and it's not always good, but I think in the grand scheme of things, you can create something that's even deeper and more personal, I think, because you share something that you cannot possibly share with anyone else. But it does create these moments, like when you disagree on something in the game, this stays in this room and it doesn't leave this room, and it's between us, and we know we want different things, and now we're fighting over it, and now we have to get over this, and until we have, then we'll be fighting kind of over this thing
over and over again
and over and over, yeah. So, and then we do agree, and then we're like, yes, this is it, we've got something there, and then it falls apart again, and then we fight about it again and repeat.
Yeah, I guess some of the benefits are, as you said, it's very personal, so where it's always there, like it's always with us, and we're always like, oh, we have this idea, and like, oh yeah, that sounds good, and so always taking notes, and it's constantly there. And I think anyone making games probably is probably the same, but also if you're making it with your partner and you're always there together, then it's a very big presence. And so yeah, I'd be curious to hear how other people's experiences are that work with their partner, and you know, if it's similar, or you know, if they have some kind of system where they process disagreements or whatever it is. But I think if you can get through this together, then you're probably doing okay.
What are some other things you think people should either play or maybe watch to get them in the right frame of mind, and so they can appreciate as much of DAP as they can?
I would say definitely some Studio Ghibli, because and not just the easygoing ones. I would say they have this weirdness that we really like. I would recommend Spirited Away. That's really good.
I'm going to say the Silent Hill 2 soundtrack, and maybe Silent Hill 2 in general, actually. That is amazing. That soundtrack is, it really has this euphoric dreaminess to it, and then this just straight up just dread. And I love that. I love this feeling of dread of like there's somehow it somehow breaks for me personally, probably not for you as much, but there's a euphoria to be had with I'll just rant about what I like about horror for a second. It's like someone else has identified something in you that you know, and you're like, oh, it's not just me. Or like, I know exactly what you mean by this. I couldn't put it into words, but I know this feeling like exactly. And I love that so much. So for me, like a good horror, I don't really mean like grotesque things. I don't really like that kind of thing. But the more psychological thing is like a sense of belonging.
Well, it's a sense of connection, isn't it? Because it's part of that same experience, you know, someone who, as you said there, has identified that what you feel or what they feel is something that's almost universal. And so if someone can connect you to that way, you know, people think about things like, you know, rom-coms or comedies or whatever, that sort of stuff. But this is another exploration of what it is to be a person. Are you hoping that's what people get out of DAP when they play it as well?
Oh, that would be amazing. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, hopefully we do a good enough job that we can, that people can identify with it like that. It's hard to say from our end because we've made it and we don't really know. You can't really tell if it's that good because, you know, you hope it is, but in some ways it's out of your hands, I guess, like once you've done it.
So thanks for being part of this episode. Now, if you're keen to learn more, you can hit the links in the description of the episode in your podcast player on our website, or you can go to meltingparrot.itch.io where you'll find a link to wishlist the game. And everyone knows that wishlisting is a really important step to supporting those creators. Even if you can't go out there and buy something, if you put something on a wishlist, it does make a difference. Iris and Paul, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you spending the time and telling us a little bit more about DAP.
No problems. Great to be here.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having us. It was really great.
Coming up on the 2nd of October this year for Melbourne International Games Week, we are showing off a huge stack of amazing games from Victoria and all around Australia, including live gameplay from Heavenly Bodies, which is a space cosmonaut-themed physics puzzler game. We're going to be playing some of that with the developers. We'll be playing WrestleDunk Sports. We'll be talking to the developers of Knuckles Sandwich, of Enchanted, lots of these great Australian-made titles. It's all happening on the 2nd of October. You can find out more information by heading to sifter.games, sifter.games. That'll take you there. In the next couple of weeks, you'll see all the great stuff that's coming up, but it's a big showcase of a whole range of different teams, small, big, in development, finished, you know, lots and lots to look forward to. So Saturday, October 2nd, 12 o'clock, Australian Eastern Standard Time, until 5 o'clock. There's 5 hours of great, great, indie, interesting stuff coming for you on that time. Sifter.games for more information.
Pixel Sifty is produced by Fiona Bartholomaeus, Nicholas Kennedy, Daniel Ang, Sarah Ireland, Viv Thumb, and Adam Christou. Mitch Lowe is our senior producer. Thanks for joining me, Mitch.
Hey, senior producer. Woo!
And Gianni Di Giovanni, which is my name. I'm the executive producer of Pixel Sift. As always, we'll be putting links to everything we talked about in the show notes on our website, which is pixelsift.com.au. You can give us a follow on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Search for our social media there, at Pixel Sift on social media.
And you can also come join us on Discord. We'd love to have you there. We talk about all sorts of things. That's pixelsift.com.au/Discord. We talked about anime, movies, and sometimes also games. That's pixelsift.com.au/Discord. And if you like what we're doing here, or if you know someone that might like an indie development game podcast to hear the stories about how their favorite games are made, the best thing you can do is send them our way. Give them a link, subscribe them on their phone when they're not looking. That's the best way to support the show.
that's all for this episode. Thank you so much for being a part of it. Until next time, have fun.
Bye.
If you're in the market for a super addictive puzzle game, you have to check out Mini Motorways on Apple Arcade. It's a city planning strategy puzzler with an incredibly satisfying gameplay loop. Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a free 1 month trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. New subscribers only, $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.